Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough estate, tax, or financial problem keeping you up at night? You can call the show right now at 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. Long distance and podcast listeners can call toll free at 800-344-5836. Coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, and broadcast on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you're listening today, thank you for making us a part of your day. I truly appreciate it. And I wanted to say I really appreciate the messages that I've gotten both at askbo@pfgwm.com and at investingsimplifiedradio.com with your questions, with your feedback. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you guys letting us know. If there's something you want to hear about on the show, a topic that you'd like us to cover, whether it's myself and Kevin or Taylor, we are working and in process of getting a setup in the office, in getting a studio set up so that we're able to record these shows, able to bring on guests as long as this coronavirus shutdown continues and we're not able to be in studio live with you. We're trying to make sure that we're still able to bring the content to you, the information to you, and get it out there. So if you have questions, if you have items that you'd like us to discuss, things that are worrying you, keeping you up at night about your finances, about your investments, about anything with a dollar sign in your life, basically, send that question to askbo@investingsimplified.com, or you can also send it on investingsimplifiedradio.com. As a reminder, we are launching this as a podcast as well, so we are running it concurrently on the radio here with you, but also via podcast where you can download that podcast at iHeartRadio, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can visit our website, pfgwm.com, to get, you know, archived episodes, I suppose you should say, of the show. And boy, let me tell you, you know, people have been asking me, you know, what I think, what my thoughts are on the market, where I think the stock market is going to go. And boy, howdy, I tell you what, I just more and more have trouble knowing what's going to happen in the market. We have, you know, news that comes out about COVID. We have news that comes out about, you know, trade deals with China, different things. And it doesn't seem to move the market as much as it used to, including what's happening with the unemployment numbers and what is sure to be some pretty dire numbers, you know, economically coming out of these companies that are coming out of the shutdown. So I think that we are due, again, and I know that we've been saying it for a while, I think that despite the fact that the market has rallied this week and over the last couple of months, I really think that the market is due for a certain amount of comeuppance in terms of we're just, you know, too high right now for what the fundamental economic data looks like, I think. The market is forward-looking, and I think long-term that I'm bullish on the market. I just think I am long-term bullish on the market. And it has been nice to get a certain amount of, you know, growth back in the market as the market starts to come back. But I am looking forward as well to see what's going to happen when the economic numbers come out and the real fallout possibly of what could happen in the market. And so, you know, just to give you an update, so far this year, if we look at just so far this year, the S&P 500, which is the general marker that a lot of people use for the overall market, is actually only down 5.77%. Now, that's pretty incredible when you think about it. We are down a net 5.77% if you had started January 1, well, technically December 31st, right? Because the market's closed on the 1st of January. But if you bought in December 31st, let the money ride, you went on quite a ride, right? You went on quite a ride all the way down to 37% down at one point. You know, we went all the way down below where we were back in 2018, back when we had that other pullback, went all the way down there and then rode all the way back up. And it's been quite a ride, but if you stuck with it, and you continue to stick with the S&P 500, long-term, I think that you're probably going to be fine. The key there is, though, is long-term. And if you have 20 or 30 years until you're retiring, or if you have a long time until you need the funds, or you're able to ride that roller coaster, then being in an index fund like that, being in the S&P 500, might not be a terrible choice. However, if that's not something that you feel like you can ride, or if you are approaching retirement, I've talked to so many people as they're just now approaching retirement or they were getting ready to retire and they had their funds in these what they thought were safe funds and they went down significantly. Now, if they held on, a lot of them have come back, but a lot of them haven't. And so if you're in that situation and you want to explore, there are accounts. We have accounts that ride the market on the upside, that go up with the market, but don't go down as much. They don't go down with the market. And if that's something that interests you, you can give our office a call, 503-253-3000, or you can drop me an email if you'd like to learn more. We talk to folks about them all the time because the key is when you're an accumulator, when you are growing your money, there is nothing better than the overall market. And everyone should have some portion of their money allocated to those risky assets. We call them red assets or risky assets, stuff that has a chance to go down because it gives you the best chance to go up, in my opinion. So being invested in the market is not necessarily a bad thing to a certain extent for a certain amount of your money. But that has to be money that you're willing to let go down before it comes back up again. And a lot of people aren't willing to let that money go down. And so if that's the case, if that's something that applies to you, then maybe you need to explore another option. Now, obviously, the one big option is to put the money under a mattress or put the money in a savings account, and it doesn't lose any money. You don't really make a whole lot of money, but if you have, you know, if we have $1 million and you put it in the savings account and you only spend 5% a year, right? If you only spend 5% a year, that, you know, $1 million gets you $50,000 worth of income, and it's going to last you 20 years. Now, it may last you 21 if interest rates pop back up, but it's only going to last you 20 years. So you have to have some portion of your money that grows because inflation is the big killer there too, folks. Stuff costs more every year. And so having money in the savings account or in a CD is safely losing money. So some portion of your money needs to be allocated for growth, but we truly believe that some portion of your money also needs to be allocated for safety. But if you're going all safety, like having those liquid funds, that money in the bank, that can really hurt you, right? You're just kind of spinning your wheels. And if you don't, you know, if you don't get going, it makes it really hard. So now is the time, as the market has come back, and if it continues to have this climb that it has, which it very well might, I think 3,100 in the S&P, that's my thought, is 3,100 in the S&P is kind of a hard upper level right there. There's a, you know, there's technical issues with the moving averages. There's a lot of different ways to look at it, but that's kind of an area where I see a lot of resistance in the market. So I think we may bounce around there. I think we drop down again as well. I think that the election, you know, always causes volatility. Election years are always volatile. And particularly if the Democratic frontrunner starts to go, you know, lead towards the front, I think that causes market volatility. I don't think that corporate taxes being increased or taxes being increased in general is good for the overall market. You can have arguments all you want about whether or not that's good for the economy or good for the country, but for the overall stock market, I can tell you that categorically raising corporate taxes is not going to be great for profits for those corporations that drive the market. However, those profits have not been great and earnings have not been great for a lot of companies, and the market is still driven higher. Now, the big thing to remember with that is the market is driven primarily by just a few companies, right? So it's driven by a few companies, and this rally has been really driven by these stay-at-home companies, the Microsofts, the Facebooks, the Zooms of the world. Goodness, who knew Zoom was going to blow up the way that it did, right? We didn't really know that we were all going to be home and utilizing Zoom. I use, you know, Zoom all the time. That's how I had Kevin on last week, and how we'll continue to have him on in the coming weeks is probably Zoom, just as we all navigate this physical distancing, you know, requirement that we have. But the big thing is the market is driven by, you know, just a few stocks. And the Dow, I've talked about it a lot, is only 30 stocks. And they're making noise about changing out some of them. So if one or two of those stocks that has really been propping it up starts to really show negative data, that could cause the market to go down significantly. And if that's something that you can't withstand, if that's something that you can't handle, it may make sense to kind of take a look at that, to think about how you can rebalance and reallocate. So when we talk about, you know, rebalancing, it's not just buying back into the stocks that you had before, selling your winners. It includes that, but it's balancing you towards your overall portfolio goal. And that is all driven around risk. The one thing that we can control in the markets is how much risk you're taking. We can't control what the markets do. We can't control what the president does. We can't control what Congress does. We can't control anything other than how much risk we take with your portfolio. And that needs to be specifically tailored towards you and your personal situation. So if you haven't had that conversation with your financial advisor, or you think, well, I don't need a financial advisor, I haven't had that conversation, give our office a call. I'll do a complimentary risk review for you. 503-253-3000. We have offices in Beaverton, Tigard, and Southeast Portland, and Vancouver. So give us a call if you'd like to sit down with somebody, if you'd like to talk over the phone, if you'd like to have a conversation over Zoom. Let me know, and we're happy to do that complimentary, no-obligation consultation. Something we offer to our radio listeners and our podcast listeners. So give our office a call, 503-253-3000. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be back with more Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you're just now tuning in, thank you for joining us. If you've been with us this whole morning, really appreciate you listening. As you're tuning in, we were talking in the last segment about returns in the market and how, you know, investing in the stock market, investing in stocks over the long term, in reality, is the best way to build long-term wealth. However, that can be kind of hard if you're, you know, wallowing in the doldrums of how the market has gone up and it's gone down, and it is a roller coaster. And so if you've been working with an advisor or you met with an advisor, and what I see too often, what I see all the time, is advisors that talk about, well, here's what our average returns have been. Here's what the average returns have been. Here's what, if you look, if you had invested back here, you'd have gotten this on average. And I know, you know, Chuck always talked about the market update, and here's what the market has done for the last X amount of years. And he picked the same time frame back from 1999. He picked the same time frame so as to not be picking and choosing the ideal time. But when you meet with an advisor, and they talk about, if you'd invested in our strategy, if you'd done this, then you'd have gotten 8, 9, 10% average returns. And the thing about it is they do what's called backcasting. And what that means is they're starting from the present and looking backwards to the exact time that makes them look the best. Here's what we did. If your plan needs to return 8% a year, here's how we got that 8% return a year. And they look back and said, you know, if you'd invested on this date and then got to this date, here's your average returns. But what happens if you didn't invest on date A, you invested on date C. You know, if you invested a couple of days later, you hear all the time about, you know, these big market moves, and I've talked about it over the last couple of weeks, that if you weren't invested in some of those biggest moving days in the market when it moves positively to the upside, then you missed out on a significant portion of what the market did that year. And that can really be difficult for you to accurately project your retirement. And a lot of these retirement plans are based on off an average return. And when we use these retirement planning softwares to project out how retirement's going to look, we're all using the same sort of software. Now, it might have a different name. It might have a different, you know, logo on there. We all have access to the same tools. So any advisor that says that they have a, you know, software, unless they built it themselves, then most likely they're using a software that a lot of other advisors use. And there's nothing wrong with that. We use advisor software. I didn't build the software we use ourselves. You know, I didn't build the planning software because there's a lot of, you know, programming and stuff that goes along in the background that I don't know how to do. But what we do use is a proprietary process, right? So when you're talking to an advisor, the big thing is not necessarily their plan that they do. It's the process that they use. How do they get you to that, you know, retirement that is going to last for the rest of your life, right? So you've been saving your whole life for retirement based upon the income that you're getting from work, right, folks? So you are working, you are getting an income, you're getting a paycheck, you're paying taxes, and you're saving money. And if you've done a really good job, you've saved a large portion of that, whether that's in a 401k or a 403b or an IRA, right? You've done a good job of saving your money up. You're setting it aside for retirement. But what are you setting it aside for in the retirement? You're setting it aside so you have a consistent, maintainable income in retirement, right? You're setting it aside so that you can afford to live and pay your bills, pay your mortgage if you haven't had a chance to pay your mortgage off by the time you hit retirement, pay for medical costs that always come up, pay for that new car, that new roof, all those things that come up during your lifetime while you're working, but you have a consistent paycheck coming in. And so a lot of times what I see so often when people are meeting with advisors and they're talking about, here's what my portfolio did, here's what my return was. They talk about my neighbor down the street, you know, she's a conservative investor and she got 16%. And I don't really care what her return has been as long as it doesn't affect her plan. Right? Now, 16% is great. If I can earn 16% on my money year in and year out, then I'm going to be the best financial planner out there. Unfortunately, you don't earn 16% year in, year out. And even if your advisor says, all we have to do to make your plan work for the long term is average 8% a year. So that's great because you can average 8% a year. We've talked about it, you know, off and on over the years that the stock market averages 7, 8, 9% a year, depending on which year you start and which year you end. It averages 8% a year or so in terms of returns. But that's an average, folks. And so the hard part is if you're averaging 8% a year, right, you could have a 16% return in the first year and a 0% return in the second year, and that's an average 8%. Right? Or you could have a 24% up and you could have a negative 8% in the second year, and that's still an average 8%. And the problem is, what year do those down years happen? Because if the market went up at 8% a year, it wouldn't be a risk, right? We'd take all our money and put it in there instead of putting it into CDs, instead of putting it into savings accounts, because there's no risk. It goes up at 8% a year like clockwork. Unfortunately, it doesn't. It averages 8% over the long term. But if you're starting retirement, if you started retirement in January of this year, if you started retirement in, you know, September of 07, right? Of September of, if you started right before these big market downturns happened, which they're going to happen and they're going to continue to happen, folks, the market doesn't go up every single year, right? So we're going to average some of these big drawdowns in the market every couple of years. And if that year is the year that you retired and now you're withdrawing your 4 or 5% from your portfolio to meet your living expenses, now you're down even farther. And that can really blow up your retirement plan. So the question I have for you, if you've done a retirement plan or you think you've done a retirement plan, have you built that plan to withstand these downswings? Because yes, the market went down significantly at the start of this year and it has rallied back. But even if we use the number of it's down 5.7% this year, you're still down for this year. And if you're withdrawing money from a down market, you're just pushing it down farther, meaning we have to come back that much harder in the following years to get back to that average 8%. Now, first of all, I think averaging 8% or using 8% as an average return is too high unless you have a really high risk tolerance. But the way that we combat that is building your portfolio using our proprietary process that has been developed over the last 50 years. Yes, 50. And people will say, well, Bo, you're not 50. And I'm not. I'm not 50 years old. I'm 36, right? But Chuck has been working in this business for the last 50 years. And that was kind of the reason he retired this year, was hitting the 50-year mark. But we've developed it over the last 50 years at Price Financial Group, right? We've developed this process. We've tested it. We've run it through these market downturns. And the idea is we want to make sure that you are able to not only get to that work optional moment, to leave work, to feel comfortable that you are able to leave work and sustain your retirement income, but also that you're able to make sure that your spouse is taken care of, your kids, the legacy you want to leave behind. That's all taken care of no matter what happens in the market. Okay, so the markets are going to do what the markets are going to do. And if you're still stuck in this accumulation mode, if you're stuck in this mode of I need to earn as much as possible, I need to make sure that I'm earning, you know, more than the market, I'm earning at least 8, 9, 10% a year, that's great for accumulation side. That's great to take risk, but can you still afford to take that risk now that you've turned the spigot from accumulation to distribution? Have you made that transition? Have you planned for that transition? And a lot of times the answer is no. A lot of people think, well, I'm saving extra money and, you know, and I'm putting 10%, 15% of my paycheck away into my 401k or into my 403b. And I'd say, kudos. That's excellent. That's great that you've done that so far. The hard part is if you've just been accumulating, you haven't transitioned. What happens when the market's down? What happens if we have another 2000, 2001, 2002, where not only did we have a big spike in 1 year like we did this year, or 1 year like we did at the end of 2018, but what happens if we have a sustained bear market? If we have a sustained 2 or 3 year long time period where you're not earning any money in the market because the market's going straight down? Have you planned for that? Have you set aside money for that? Have you allocated enough of your portfolio to that safe money, to this the green side of the equation? Have you got enough of your portfolio that can withstand those fluctuations in the market? Because it's going to happen, folks. And it doesn't really matter when you look at the long term of what has your portfolio done. When you're talking at the cocktail party, once we're allowed to have cocktail parties, if you're talking at the Zoom happy hour now, right? When you're talking to your friends, to your colleagues, and they're saying, how did your portfolio do? How did you, are you a professional trader? Because if you are, then yeah, that's what you should be comparing. What, how did your portfolio do? My response when someone says, how did your portfolio do? I say, how'd your plan look? How's your projection look? How's your income doing? Did your paycheck go down or did it go up? Because a lot of my clients, the paycheck went up. Market went down, but their paycheck went up, or it stayed the same, and we're able to continue making sure they can continue living no matter what the market did, up or down, right? And that's separate from that risk conversation that I had last segment. You know, it's separate from that. It's a conversation about what's the plan, how do we get you to make sure that your plan is going to be sustainable? How do we get you to make sure that you're going to be able to live the lifestyle that you want to live, make sure that you're going to be able to afford those gifts for the grandkids on their birthdays? Make sure that you're going to be able to afford that new car when you need it. Make sure that you're going to be able to afford that new roof when you need it. So we want to make sure that we build that out and take that into account. And if you haven't done that with your advisor, ask them to do that. Ask them, what happens if we have a sustained bear market? What's their plan for a sustained bear market? And if they don't have a plan, that's a problem. Okay? And if they don't have a plan, give us a call. We'll review your plan. We'll look at what you've done. We'll tell you what we think. We'll tell you what we would do in that situation. And if that makes sense and you want to move forward with us, great. Or if you want to take that back to your advisor, great. Because our mission is to get that information out to you. get that information to you to make sure that you are taken care of for the rest of your life. Again, you can reach us at beau@pfgwm.com. You can visit our website at pfgwm.com, or you can send us a call, 503-253-3000. So we'll be back. We're going to take another quick break here. We'll be back with more Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com. 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. However you're listening to us today, thanks for making us a part of your day. Again, as a reminder, you can get our show via podcast, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartMusic, Google Play, any and all of the above type options. So I wanted to, you know, say the last couple of weeks we've been having some technical difficulties getting things up and running. And I know most folks who've listened to us for a long time really enjoy the, you know, the ability to call into the show to ask the questions. And unfortunately, with COVID and with the coronavirus restrictions, we are not able to take your calls right now in studio. Hopefully, we will get back to that very soon. But as of right now, we are stuck doing the, you know, sort of, you know, getting the show going in quarantine. So if you have questions that have been keeping you up at night, questions that you'd like to know more about, if you send those to askbo@pfgwm.com, I'll make sure to get those put on the show, whether that's a question for Taylor, a question for Kevin, a question for Brian Harrington, who is our PERS expert, who we're hoping to have on the show here in the next couple of weeks, whether that's for Michael Standard, who is the mortgage guy, whether that's about real estate, about investing in investment properties, house flipping, any and all. If I don't know the answer, folks, I will do my best to utilize the community of professionals that I have around me to get that answer for you. There is no stupid question when it comes to your money, when it comes to your retirement, when it comes to your investments, when it comes to your estate planning. So a question that I've, you know, had come up a couple of times in the last few weeks is how to avoid paying, you know, if you've had capital gains, if you were lucky enough to get out of the way of this falling knife that was the market back in mid-February, excuse me, and then you had some capital gains in your taxable account, if you made some money and have to pay taxes on it, and unfortunately, the only way to avoid the capital gains if they've already been, you know, found or had is to lose money. So if you got some of the money out of the market before the downswing, but then the money went down again and then you got out at the bottom, you actually get to net those losses against those gains. And so that's one of the things we do for clients is kind of analyze if you have, you know, capital losses that we can harvest. It's a term called tax loss harvesting. But otherwise, if you can't net them against other losses, barring doing something illegal, you have to pay taxes when you make money. Now, we can be smart about it. We can hopefully, you know, net those out and care, you know, make sure that we're balancing them for you in the long term, so that way you're not losing money, you know, to taxes that you shouldn't have to pay. But if you've already sold those positions, if you've liquidated those positions, unfortunately, you made money and you have to pay taxes. One of the things that we do with folks is we work on what's called a deferred sales trust. And I talked about this with Kevin, I think 6 or 8 months ago. It's quite a while ago, but it's something that I've been talking to some folks about now. If you've had these severely appreciated assets, and primarily this applies to folks that are business owners
or that own property, own physical property, because you can have a couple million dollars worth of gains over the last several years. If you're a landlord, if you own some investment properties and you want to liquidate those, you want to kind of get rid of them, maybe you're tired of being in the landlord space, maybe you're tired of having tenants. The folks that owned our building out near Mall 205, they sold the building this last year. They sold it this last spring after owning it for, you know, I think 20 years or so they've owned the building for, and they decided to sell it. They're two brothers. They own some properties around town. They've made that their, you know, living. That's what they've done for the last, you know, 25 years. And they, none of their kids wanted to take over the business. So they didn't have kids that wanted to step into their shoes and take over and manage these properties. So when they sold it, what's their recompense? So the property has, you know, increased in value over the 25 years. And if it's, you know, in that $1 million plus range, that's a huge capital gains tax issue that they're going to have, right? So capital gains, even if it's capped at that 23% on $1 million, that's $230,000 of taxes that you have to pay in this year. And I ask you, is there a better way, right? Don't you wish that there was a better way to avoid that? And there's a couple of different ways that you can do that. One of them is called the deferred sales trust. So you can utilize this deferred sales trust, and basically what you do is you just have to organize yourself before you sell the property. Now, a lot of people say, well, that sounds like a 1031 exchange. And if you own property, you probably are familiar with the 1031 exchange concept. And basically what that is you are looking at identifying, you have a building that you've owned that's severely appreciated. You want to sell it, but then you have to immediately find another building to buy. You have to identify it beforehand, have a qualified intermediary. Then you have to identify the new property within 180 days. You have to identify it actually within 45 and close on the new property within 180. That can be really hard, especially in this particular time that we're living in, right? You may not find another property, a like property, which means it has to be the same style of property, the same kind of investment property. You can't, you know, sell your investment property and go buy a personal residence. But what happens is you transfer your basis over. So really, you're just kicking the can down the road, folks. So if you've got that $1 million gain, you go buy a new property. You still have $1 million gain. We're just moving into the new property. And if you want to stay in the business of renting, you want to stay in the business of owning that investment property, it can be a really great deal. But if you want to get out of that business, then you have to explore other options. And one of those options is a deferred sales trust. And the way that that works is you can actually sell the business to this trust. So what you do is you sell it to this trust, which is a defective trust that we've set up. That's, you know, you are the owner of the property. You still have control of the property, but maybe you don't want to put it all into a new building, or maybe you're not sure yet. And so what the deferred sales trust can do, and there's a lot of moving parts, and I don't want to bore you with all the details of it, but basically you have this trust that now we can use to defer those capital gains and spread them out over the next 10 years. And where that really makes sense, you say, well, that's just kicking the can down the road, Bo. And it is, except to the extent that we can extend it maybe even beyond 10 years. And let's say you want to only recognize $50,000 or $75,000 worth of gains per year over the next few years to keep yourself in a lower capital gains bracket, but more importantly, to keep you in a lower income bracket, right? Because what a lot of people don't realize is that capital gain on that building or on that severely appreciated stock, that capital gain bumps you up into the next income bracket too. So you add that $1 million gain. Now you are in the $1 million income bracket this year for your income. Now, not on the whole $1 million sale, you pay capital gains on it, but your whole income is now in this higher bracket. So the way that the deferred sales trust works is we can manage the taxation on that asset, right? We can manage how much you are going to owe in taxes over the next 5, 10, 15, or 20 years if you want to make sure that you're not paying as much taxes. Or maybe 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, you decide that, no, you know what? I want to buy another building with that money. And you can. And so it kind of it takes away the restrictions, conceivably, of the 1031 exchange. So that's one way. The other way is, if you are charitably inclined, we can explore how to utilize a charitable remainder trust to not just kick the can down the road, but conceivably we can get rid of all of the taxes on the severely appreciated asset if done right. Now, you're going to have to give some to charity, right? And the minimum you have to give is about 10% of the value to charity. So if you're not charitably inclined, it may not make sense. But it can make a lot of sense and can be a great way to move that money and make sure that you don't have to pay as much in taxes on your severely appreciated asset, especially if you think that over the next 6 months to a year, if you think the housing market is going to come down, if you think the value on those assets is going to come down, let's explore ways to get around having to pay the taxes on it. Now, there are moving parts that go with it, and there's no free lunch, right? So the deferred sales trust has a cost to it. We have to pay for the management of the trust, and that can be, a large cost. That can be a large cost that you have to carry in order to get rid of those taxes, and it may not make it worth it. And that's why I mentioned specifically the $1 million worth of gains that you're carrying, because that's right around about how much it makes sense for the deferred sales trust. For the charitable remainder trust, you don't have to have that much in assets, and the charitable remainder trust can be expensive too to maintain. You have to employ an attorney to get that CRT going. You have to make sure you build it out right from a math perspective, from the IRS perspective, so we don't come across as trying to cheat on our taxes, because we're not trying to cheat. We're trying to make sure that we don't have to pay more taxes than we should. There are options out there if you have those severely appreciated assets, and that's a select few people that are probably listening. That doesn't apply to everybody, but if you have those issues where you have these assets that have appreciated, there are ways to get it out of your estate. We want to make sure that you are not paying more taxes, not paying more estate taxes or income taxes or capital gains taxes than you should. Then you have to. I don't mind paying my fair share of taxes, especially if I knew they were being utilized properly, which I think we can all agree they really aren't, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. But I don't still, even if they're used properly, want to pay more than my fair share, because that just cuts into what is left for me and my family when we're talking about the investments that we've made. So if you have a capital gain that you've already realized, if you sold your assets, if your broker sold your assets, there's most likely nothing you can do aside from losing money to get rid of those taxes. But if you're in a position where you have a lot of what are called unrealized gains, or gains that you haven't actually sold out of yet, you haven't gotten to the point where those are going to be a taxable event, there can be a way to avoid those. And if you haven't talked to your advisor about them, if you have questions about them, if you'd like to learn more about it, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. I'd love to tell you about how we've helped clients get their way out of those taxes. Now, it may not make sense and it may not work for you, but worst case is you heard about it, right? It's an option that's out there that you can explore. And wouldn't you want to know about it if you can avoid paying taxes that you don't need to? That really, keeps you from having an ideal retirement if you pay too much in taxes. So give us a call, 503-253-3000, or shoot me an email, Bo, that's B-O, at pfgwm.com. So I'm going to take a break here, and I'm going to come back, stay with me. We're doing some Investing Simplified. We're talking about simplifying your taxes, talking about simplifying your, estate planning, your retirement planning. But if you have a question that I haven't covered or that hasn't been covered in the last couple of weeks, shoot me that email, askbo at pfgwm.com. We'll be right back with more Investing Simplified.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you're reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
And welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking with us throughout the day today. It is day, I feel like I say this every week, it is day I'm not sure in this quarantine COVID deal. And I wanted to talk a little bit, you know, about our business and what's, you know, the changes that we've been making to help people with coronavirus and help people making sure that we are being safe and taking all those precautions. What we've done with our office is we've opened a couple of new spots around town. We are making sure that we are available to folks. We are available digitally over Zoom, over the phone. Happy to have those conversations. We are also, for folks that are comfortable, that want to come in, we have started opening up to have face-to-face appointments in our offices. And we maintain that 6 feet of distance. We will wear a mask. We will make sure that we fully clean, deep clean. I'm trying to think of the word, the antibacterial, you know, sanitize. That's the word I'm looking for. We are sanitizing our office between appointments, making sure that folks can be safe and comfortable, because no matter how you feel about, you know, the coronavirus and how it goes out there, I just hope that everyone is remaining safe and everyone is, you know, is staying safe out there and staying healthy. So one of the things that has come up a lot in our business is, if something happens to me, is my family going to be taken care of? Whether it's COVID or cancer or heart disease or, for Pete's sake, stepping off a curb and getting hit by a MAX train because you weren't paying attention. Not to go all dark or anything, but I hope that doesn't happen to you. But if it did, is your family taken care of? And I can't stress enough that I tell everyone that I meet with, everyone that I talk with, that it is important to make sure that their house is in order. And it's important to have that conversation with your spouse or with your kids or with your parents to make sure that they know where your assets are, how to access those assets, where everything's supposed to go, who's going to take care of the kids, who's going to take care of the house, who's going to get the dog. All these different things need to be spelled out. And a lot of times people will say, well, I've got this napkin math, I've got this napkin will, done all those things. I always recommend that you give an estate attorney a call. I have Taylor Cattell comes on the air quite often with us. She works with people. She will, you know, make sure that your estate plan is in order. James Bruce has come on the air a couple of times with me as well. He's another gentleman that's down in Southwest Portland. He's located in Bridgeport. I'm also happy to connect you with other estate attorneys that are around here, around town, professionals that we trust. Make sure that you have gotten those things in order. Got to make sure that you've got your advance directives. You've got your, you know, final, you know, expenses taken care of. Make sure that you've got your, you know, you have insurance through work. You have life insurance that you bought 20 years ago and now you don't even know where the policy is. What happens if you pass away and your wife doesn't know where it is? What happens if you have an insurance policy that you bought back when you were working over at Boeing and now you work over at, you know, Plantronics, and your husband doesn't realize that you've got, you know, $45,000 final expense policy set up? You've taken care of burial expenses and done prepaid burial expenses, but your kids don't know that you have that policy, and they're going to spend $10,000 to $15,000 to get you taken care of. You've set up a trust, but the last time you reviewed it was 1995. That's a big problem. The laws have changed. Everything has changed. And, you know, everything changes every couple of years, especially with this new environment where we have COVID, where we have tax law changes, we have different, you know, changes that are coming from estate law, any and all of those things. Maybe you move states, maybe you move cities, you moved houses. All the things that change in your life need to be updated. the big thing that I have come across the most is beneficiary designations, folks. So if you have retirement accounts, or if you have life insurance, or if you have final expense insurance, any of these things, please, please, please make sure you review your beneficiary designations. You've got to make sure that those are exactly what you want them to be. I can't tell you how many times I come across 401ks that were left behind that somebody started when they were 25, and it's 10, 15 years later now, and they haven't reviewed that beneficiary that they set up, and it was their mom who has sadly since passed away. And now if something happens to you, that money doesn't go to your wife now. That money doesn't go to your nephew that you'd want it to go to. It goes to your estate, tries to go to your, you know, your mom who no longer is living. And you say, well, I have a will, Bo. I got that set up. We've talked about this with Taylor ad nauseum. The will does not trump the beneficiary designation on your IRA or your old 401k or your life insurance policy. Make sure that you know who the beneficiary is. Make sure that you've updated that to your current spouse. If you divorced your husband 10 years ago and now you've got a partner and you said, you know, I'm never going to get married again, but I've got a life partner that I've been living with him for, you know, 5-10 years now. We've established a life together and I want him to inherit all my things. If your ex-husband is still listed as the beneficiary on your 401k at work, which happens so often, your ex-husband's the one that's going to inherit it, not your current partner, not your current husband. So you got to make sure that you're reviewing those things every few years. I usually say the rule of thumb is every 3, maybe 5 years, or if something changes, right? You move to a new job, you move to a new house, you get a divorce, you get married, you have a kid. Any of these things mean that you need to update your designations, and it doesn't hurt to just have things reviewed. You know, there have been situations where I have had clients that have dealt with their mom has dementia now, and and her estate planning wasn't set up, and because she's not of sound mind, if there wasn't a POA set up, if they weren't properly prepared for it, it's really difficult and really expensive to get that all affected and updated. And what happens if maybe mom has dementia and now she's leaving it to you and your sister, and your sister's husband is maybe having a little bit of health issues? Or what happens if you've set up your will to have your mom and stepfather be the guardians of your minor children if you pass away, but maybe your mom is the one that you wanted to have taking care of the children, but she predeceases you, and now your stepfather, maybe not that, you know, you wouldn't mind him taking care of them, but maybe he's just not equipped to raise children by himself. And that seems a little misogynistic, but, you know, the concept remains the same. Maybe you've left your parents as the legal guardians and you only really wanted one parent, or you wanted them both together to be the legal guardians. But if one of them predeceases you, you don't want them to be the legal guardians of your children. You need to make sure that those are planned for in your estate planning. And it just behooves you to meet with an estate attorney to talk to somebody about all of those things. Now, you know, this is applicable to my situation as a business owner, and my wife is a small business owner as well. If you're a small business owner, particularly if you own a franchise or if you have what are called intangible assets, and if you're the sole owner of your business, if something happens to you, what happens to that business? What happens to the debts? What happens to the inventory? What happens to the receivables? What happens to your staff? You want to make sure that you have done this planning to make sure that you have things taken care of. And the hardest part is, you know, I tend to be a control freak, trying to make sure that I have control over the things that I can control. And after you pass away, obviously you can't have control over everything. But if you set things up properly, if you set them up the right way, then you can ensure that it goes the way that you want. So I've been talking about business ownership and talking about, you know, assets, but it's also making sure that you don't leave stuff to someone that you didn't want to leave it to. So all these things are worth reviewing when you kind of have this time of self-reflection. A lot of us are home, are not able to go into work just yet, and I'm hopeful and cautiously optimistic that we'll be able to go in soon. But it's a good time to review those things. When was the last time you had that conversation? And it can be a hard conversation. And if you haven't had that conversation with your aging parents, if you haven't had that conversation with your children, if you are, you know, an aging parent, make sure that they know what you want to happen and that you are properly set up to make sure that happens. The other thing to have, if you, you know, are aging out or thinking that, you know, there may be a situation where you may lose capacity, explore having that power of attorney, that durable springing power of attorney, to make sure that your bills get paid if something happens to you. You know, I've sent countless clients to estate attorneys because they are big, you know, world travelers, or they are big, you know, time travelers, you know, in and out of the state or in and out of the country. And if you're in a situation where you are now on a ventilator because you've gotten COVID or something other like that, you can't take money out of your bank account to pay bills. And if you don't have a power of attorney on that bank account, you might be SOL. So not to, you know, end the show on a morbid note today, but just making sure that you are covered, making sure that your wishes are followed and that you don't, you know, expose yourself to tax issues, to estate planning issues, to legal hurdles. And a lot of times people say they want to go to these discount, you know, LegalZoom or Rocket Lawyer, and not casting aspersions on any of those things. But in my experience, oftentimes it is far more expensive to make up for mistakes or make up for things that were improperly implemented than it is to just meet with an attorney the first time. You got to meet with an attorney, make sure that they have you all taken care of and they have you all set up. They'll also be able to think of, you know, interesting and inventive ways to move money around. We talked about gifting, you know, a couple weeks ago, making sure that if you have large estate issues, if you have a large estate that is over the Oregon estate tax limit, but not over the federal limit, figuring out ways to gift that money, perhaps, whether that's to charity or whether that's to individuals in your family, if leaving a legacy is important. It's thinking about utilizing different financial products, different financial strategies, and different account types that you don't know about because that's not what you're a professional in, right? You're not going to go to a car mechanic and ask them to perform open heart surgery on you. You're also not going to go to a heart surgeon and ask them to change your radiator out in your car. So find a professional that focuses on the issues that you're trying to fix and make sure that they're working in tandem with the other professionals in your life. If your advisor isn't willing to talk to your financial planner, isn't willing to talk to your estate planner, isn't willing to talk to your CPA, then you need to find another advisor. We work hand in glove with our professional partners to make sure that our clients are properly taken care of and to make sure that we're not coming across any sort of roadblocks or any sort of potholes that might derail everything that we're trying to do with their financial plan. And if your advisor is only talking about different products that they think you should go into because they're with a broker dealer or they're a broker because it's a suitability rule rather than a fiduciary, ask them if they can give you a couple different options. Ask them if they're a fiduciary, if they are required to do a certain type of product, to do a certain type of investment, to invest a certain way. We are a truly independent fiduciary advisory firm. And what that means is we can do everything from soup to nuts for you. And we're agnostic. We don't care where we go. We don't care what company we use. We don't care what investment we use. We don't care what type of account we use. As long as it is in your best interest, in our client's best interest, to make sure we can help you achieve your financial goals. And sometimes that might be putting the money underneath the mattress, like we talked about. It totally depends on your individual situation. And you should never feel like you have to be pigeonholed. I'm going to leave you with a couple of items today as we end the show. Questions to ask your financial advisor or things to think about when you're talking with a potential advisor or somebody that you're going to work with. One, are they a fiduciary? That's the number one question. And that's also question two and three, really. Are you a fiduciary? Are you a fiduciary? Are you a fiduciary? Just beat it into the ground, right? But number two, how are they compensated? And number three, are they open to alternative ideas? We have clients that only work with us for the plan. We don't manage their money. They don't place any money with us. All they do is they pay us a fee to manage their plan. We have clients that all we do is manage their money, and they're only concerned about investment side. We have clients that only want to build a pension plan. We want to work with somebody that is willing to do what's right for you and what's best for you. So if your advisor's not willing to have those conversations, maybe it's time to explore other advisors. And if your advisor is not, the last one is, and I tell this to everybody that I meet with, if they're talking to a couple other advisors, if they're shopping other advisory shops, I always say, yeah, have that meeting, do that interview. Because I only want to work with folks that want to work with me and want to work with me for the long term. I don't want to work with folks that feel like they got sold something. I feel like they got, you know, sold a snake oil, right? They don't want to work with somebody that feels like they have their best interests in mind and that's looking for a long-term relationship. So if the advisor that you're interviewing isn't interested in that, that's a big red flag. As always, if you have questions that come up, give our office a call, 503-253-3000, or shoot me an email, askbo@pfgwm.com. It's been a pleasure today, folks. I'm hopeful we'll be back in the studio soon to take your calls live on the air. But otherwise, thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Be safe out there. Take care of each other. Be kind to each other. God bless you all and have a great day.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.